morning, everyone. This is Chris, and you are listening to the Chris Gilbertson Show, where we focus on the secrets of the extraordinarily successful. And through expert and millionaire interviews and tips and advice, we share with you key principles to help you as an entrepreneur explode your business and your following. And if you've ever yourself wanted to learn how to broadcast your message and reach a global audience, make sure you head over to chrisgilbertson.com to learn more about the power of podcasting for your business. And so today, I am so excited. I've got a phenomenal woman guest coming on the show that I've actually had the privilege of working with one-on-one. And this woman's name is Linda Hollander, and she is an industry leader in teaching entrepreneurs about small business success, how to expand your reach, how to get speaking gigs, and how to attract corporate sponsorships. She has over 20 years' experience as a small business owner, and her clients and sponsors include Disney, Cisco Systems, Citibank, FedEx, Mattel, Universal Studios, Ocean Spray, American Airlines, IBM, Walmart, the list goes on and on. She's also the author of Bags to Riches. She is the founder of the Women's Small Business Expo that helps women explode their business and create powerful connections. And she's also a speaker, a coach, and a philanthropist. So she has so much knowledge in helping entrepreneurs be able to do what they love and get funded by the big corporations. So without further ado, I welcome Linda to the call. How are you doing, Linda?
Oh, Chris, great to be here.
Excellent. I'm so excited to have you. So I love your story and your background. So I'd love if you would just share with the audience where you're, you know, how you got started as an entrepreneur and how you got into the corporate sponsorship space.
Okay. Well, I sure will. A lot of people probably know the name Linda Hollander, and some may know my brand name, which at one time was Wealthy Bag Lady, because I started a business producing custom printed shopping bags. And I started that with my best friend in the world. Her name is Cheryl Felice. And we both figured, you know what, if we did something together, it would absolutely be phenomenal. So we, knowing nothing about business, knowing nothing about the packaging industry, started this company producing shopping bags. And you read some of our trophy clients for Disney and Mattel and Sears and Nissan, and grew it to a multi-million dollar business. And while I was working in that business, you know, a lot of people, you know, came to our business, and a lot of women especially came to our business. And I want to tell the listeners that I will be talking about women from time to time because, you know, that those are the examples that I draw on. But the advice that I'm going to give you about getting corporate sponsors is universal for men and women. But as far as my story goes, women came to our business and they said, you know, I want to know how to do sales, how to do marketing. So I started a coaching and a consulting business around that. And then everybody said, well, write a book. So I did. I wrote Bags to Riches. And then I went on a book tour to promote Bags to Riches. And if you've ever gone on a book tour, it is like the most exciting, funnest thing in the world. And you really get to talk to people one-on-one and take the pulse of what's important to them. So I talked to business owners, primarily women, and they said, we want to hear from all of the millionaire mentors that you featured in the book Bags to Riches. Now, before I started my business, I was in a really, really bad place. I was in a rent-controlled apartment. I had a cat who was part of the family, had to hide the cat because the owner didn't like cats. I would go down to the mailbox, and when you're living in an apartment, I mean, I could never even imagine buying my own home at the time. You know, I'm going down to that mailbox. My hand would literally shake when I would open that mailbox with my mailbox key because I knew that there were bills in that mailbox I would never, ever afford to pay. But even though I was in that kind of a financial situation and the mailbox was a reminder of my financial failures, I was working, but I was working in a dead-end job. And, you know, I was entrepreneurial all my life, so my soul was absolutely crying out. And on a personal level, I was in an abusive relationship with a man. And that relationship lasted a few years because my self-confidence was just probably below the ground. But luckily, Chris, one day I did have an epiphany, and that's when I had the cat on my lap, and I called my best friend Cheryl and said, like, let's take the biggest adventure ride of our lives together and start a business. and that's what we did. So I wanted other women to experience what I experienced, the kind of empowerment that comes from starting and succeeding in your own small business, because I was able to get out of debt. I was able to fire my boss. I was able to dump the abusive boyfriend. 3.5 weeks later, I met my husband, who's the gentlest, kindest person in the whole world. He's a constant source of love and support for me. So I wanted other women to have that experience, that knowledge, and that empowerment. So I wanted to start the Women's Small Business Expo, but I had to pay for it. So that's when I came about the idea of corporate sponsors, because I thought, if I don't have the money, somebody else does. And luckily, I found corporations and companies who kind of wanted to play with me. And my very, very first event, I got Bank of America, I got Walmart, and I got IBM as my sponsors. And so far, we've been going over 10 years with the Women's Small Business Expo, and it has always been sponsored. So other people saw what I was doing and said, wait a minute, I thought you had to be the Olympics to get to sponsors. I didn't know you could do it as a small business, or if I do events, or if I speak, or if I have a podcast or a web TV show. Those are a lot of my clients, too. Or a charity, and I said, absolutely, you can. And so that's what I've been doing for over 11 years, is training people and helping people get corporate sponsors.
Yeah, that's just phenomenal. And I love your story of where, you know, humble beginnings and how you actually, I mean, you created your own vision and you lived it out. So I'd love for you to share, I mean, what, especially for the listeners that are new entrepreneurs, you know, a lot of people may be transitioning right now from corporate into their own business or just getting started. What advice can you share for, you know, how to change that mindset and some of the things that you did that actually helped you take off and actually get your business off the ground?
I want to share with you to really, really keep your overhead low. And I know this is a really practical tip because right now, I mean, it's so different than 20 years ago when my business partner and I started our business. We had to buy equipment. We had to get office space. Now you could start a business in your home. You could build a very inexpensive website and get started. And most of the businesses in the Inc. 500, you'll read that they have started with less than $10,000. So start your business with as little overhead as possible. Get into revenue as quickly as possible. So choose a business model where it makes money. I get very nervous when people come to me and they have this great invention or a great new product, but it's going to take years to make the first prototype. And then after you make that first prototype, you know, you don't even know if you're going to get orders. There's no feasibility. So really check and see, because I'm not a believer in do what you love and the money will follow. There has to be a market for what you love. So test it. Test and test again. Test to see if there's a market for what you love. And there are ways to test this before you invest your funds, before you invest everybody else's funds and your family in the business. And that is why corporate sponsors are a good tool, because with corporate sponsors, you use the company's money as funding. You don't have to pay the money back. But it is a low-risk funding strategy because, you know, you're not getting yourself in a lot of major debt.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like how you touched on the fact that, you know, we a lot of people today, they talk about, oh, you know, follow your passion, but you're still right. You have to have a business model that makes sense with that. So, you know, one of the things you touched on is with sponsorships, you just said it, you know, how people always think they have to be the big athletes. What are the big myths that you have? Because I know I had them about sponsorship before I started working with you. So what are the biggest myths that you hear that people are misinformed about sponsors and why they can, as an entrepreneur, get them for their business?
Well, the number one myth is my business is too small. And we kind of talked about that because, you know, when I got the first big three sponsors, Bank of America, Walmart, and IBM, I had no following. I had my cat and my brother-in-law, and it was just me and the company. Now, you know, I do have a team. But it was just me, and, you know, I was able to get those sponsors because I sold them on the concept. I sold them on my passion. So So your business is not too small to get corporate sponsors. You just have to package your business appropriately to get corporate sponsors. That's a big myth. Another myth is that you have to be a nonprofit to get corporate sponsors. And I work with nonprofit and for-profit, but most of the businesses that I work with as clients are for-profit businesses. So you can be a for-profit business and get corporate sponsors. Another myth is that it's very complicated, it's very sophisticated, getting corporate sponsors, and really the process is, we'll talk about this if we can, it's a very simple process to get corporate sponsors. There is some work involved. Like I said, you know, you do have to come up with a proposal and package your business in a certain way to make it attractive to companies to open up their checkbooks. But it's not as complicated as most people think that it is.
You are listening to The Chris Gilbertson Show, and this is the interview with Linda Hollander, sponsorship expert. Linda's amazing in helping entrepreneurs partner with large corporations to help you take your message to the next level and get paid doing what you love. And what's great about this, if you have a following or just starting to grow a following, this strategy can still work for you. And one thing, if you do have a message right now that you want to take global, one of the best ways to help you get these sponsorships is by having a podcast, a vehicle and a method and a medium where you can actually showcase these sponsors as well as reaching an affluent marketplace, which sponsors just absolutely love. They love the podcast listeners because of the span and that you're already volunteering to listen to a specific podcast, you're more open to buying products and services or trying them out. So it's a great way to help you obtain these sponsors. And another benefit, like Linda is talking about and further in this interview, that you can provide for sponsors to grab their attention and have you stand out amongst anybody else that could be looking to obtain a sponsorship. So again, to learn more about this strategy or to learn about podcasts, head over to chrisgilbertson.com and make sure to check out Linda Hollander, her blog post, which will have all the details on sponsorship, and sign up and subscribe to my list to get tips and ideas to help you as an entrepreneur, and download your free guide on why now is the right time to start a podcast. And we're going to go right back into the interview. Outstanding. Now, are there certain businesses or business models that corporate sponsors are more attracted to, or does that matter?
There are. Okay. Now, what a corporation is going to sponsor is they'll sponsor you if you know people who buy things. That is really the easiest way I can explain it. So, in other words, the corporations have sponsored me because I work with the demographic of women business owners, and that's a $2.5 trillion demographic right there. And you know,
wow.
There's a revolution in the women's business market because women are starting businesses at twice the rate of men. And, there's women make or influence over 85% of the consumer purchases in America. So
wow.
I want you to research whatever your target market is. But, you know, so there's other target markets out there like the baby boomers, like the mom market, like the youth market, like, the cultural creatives. The cultural creatives are the people who shop at Whole Foods, who are very into personal development, who are into alternative forms of healing, et cetera. That's a great market. So if you have a business that sells to people who buy things, you are going to be more successful with corporate sponsors. I had a lady call me once, and she wanted to give books to people in prison, and I thought it was a wonderful program. Unfortunately, prisoners are not consumers, so I couldn't help her. She did get financed in other ways with grants and other things, but it was not appropriate for corporate sponsorship. So not everything is appropriate for corporate sponsors. Corporate sponsors like it if you have what's called a reach. They like it if you have, you know, people who follow you. They like it, you know, if you're a speaker or an author or like you, somebody who does a podcast, who can reach people with a message because that's what they are paying you for. If you do events, if you have a nonprofit charity. And don't worry if you don't have a big following because there's ways to hook up with people who do have a following and get corporate sponsors. But that's kind of what they like to underwrite and pay for.
Excellent. I mean, that's great. And I mean, that really covers so many niches. I mean, just about anybody could get started with this. That's outstanding. So now you talked about it with, you know, you don't have to be a big corporation to get started. Does it matter, though, to get the bigger corporations to sponsor you to have that following, or is it all in your proposal, kind of the process of how you take people through to get sponsors?
The proposal is extremely important because right now most decisions are made based on the proposal. A lot of times you are not even in the room when a company makes that decision to sponsor you. So it's made based on the proposal because, see, we as entrepreneurs sometimes are absolutely flabbergasted with the way corporate America works because, you know, you give something to them and then they go into their committees and they make a decision. You know, we could decide something like on Monday and put it out on Wednesday, you know.
Yeah.
Ain't so with corporate America. So that's why the proposal is really important.
Excellent. Now, for people that are just coming into learning about sponsorship and getting started, if you're open to sharing the process, I think that'd be fantastic. Because I think a lot of people, when I talk to a lot of my clients, they've heard the term, but they still don't quite understand how powerful it can be for their business and the partnerships mm-hmm. that they can create as well. So I'd love for you to touch a little bit on that.
Okay, well, let me give you the definition of sponsorship first. I said if you know people who buy things, you could get sponsors. Sponsorship is a cash or an in-kind fee from a company to you for adding value to that company, for the commercial potential that you have. And when we talked about commercial potential, that means you know people who buy things. So it's a cash or an in-kind fee based on your commercial potential. So the cash, you know, obviously they write you cash. Sometimes sponsorship is in the form of what's called in-kind or trade sponsorship, which means they give you, like, free stuff. If you get printing at all, if you do events, if you want food, you could get food provided by a sponsor. And in-kind sponsorship is really valuable because it does relieve your budget. Sponsors give you like four things. I'm going to go over what they give you. They give you free stuff, which I just mentioned. Number two is media. Sponsors give you media. So one of the biggest kept secrets out there is a lot of what you see on traditional media or hear on the media is done in sponsorship, in in-kind sponsorship. And as an example, when I was doing one of my women's small business expos, I got a radio station to give me $25,000 worth of free advertising, and not a dime came out of my pocket. I did a trade with them. So number two is media. And whatever you do, you want a lot of media. You want to get the word out about what you do. Number three is money. And we'll talk a little bit about how much money you can make, because I'm sure everybody's thinking, well, how much money can I make here? Don't worry, we're going to talk about that. And number four is credibility. Credibility, because when you put on the bottom of your website or any of your marketing materials or your blog or whatever you do, if it says sponsored by and any of those major companies that, you know, I've helped people get like Verizon or Bank of America, you know, like if you put those on the bottom, I mean, it just lets people know that you are playing at a higher level. So that's basically, you know, it gives you, and one sponsor leads to another. There's a lot of like kind of me too in the sponsor world. So once you get like a couple of sponsors, you know, it's easier to get more.
Outstanding. Now, so obviously the me too principle I definitely understand, but how long do you typically have a sponsor for?
We like to do a 1-year contract with our sponsors. And our clients, we like to give our clients actually a 1-year contract. I don't believe in event sponsorship. Event sponsorship is when, you know, you have a particular event coming up and you get a sponsor for that event and then they go away, because there's really not time to create a relationship there. And sponsorship is all about relationships. Plus, you know, then you have to keep going back to that company. And I like to do just a year's worth of sponsorships. You know, and bundle all of your benefits for the whole year. And maybe you do a few events per year. So I would put those in the year contract. Sometimes there's multi-year contracts that you can write into the deal. But I'd like to get it at least for a year.
Okay, excellent.
And you're going to make more money, too.
Yeah, well, it makes sense, too, because then you have so much more, that, like you talked about the benefits, which I'm going to ask about in a second here, of showing them how you've been able to help them with their brand. So that's outstanding. Now, can you share, though, how big the sponsorship world is? Because I was floored at the numbers when I found out how big this industry was.
Sponsors are going to spend over $18 billion this year. $18 billion. Now, that has gone up since 2004. It's gone up 50%, and since the year 2000, it has gone up 100%. And it usually goes up between 5 and 10% every year. So even with the economy the way it is, sponsorship seems to be going up, and sponsorship is going up more than the traditional advertising because sponsorship is more targeted. Remember that I said, you can reach a certain target market of people with sponsorship. And I'll give you an example. My husband introduced me to the world of ballroom dancing. Mm. When we first started ballroom dancing, he's really good. He's really good.
So, that's good.
I know, because when we first started dating, he said Paso Doble, and I thought he was talking a foreign language, and now I found out dance. And we watch Dancing with the Stars. So Dancing with the Stars, if you put an ad on there, it's $1 billion. You got to put a bunch of ads on Dancing with the Stars. You're reaching everybody from 9 years old to 90 years old, and, not a whole lot of companies can do that. But if you spend on a sponsorship, you could spend a lot less money, and you can make a targeted purchase with a good return on your investment. So sponsorship dollars are going up, whereas traditional advertising is increasing, but at a much slower rate.
Right.
So that's good news.
Yes, outstanding news, and especially because a lot of our distribution channels, like the radio networks, the TV, newspapers, they're going out of business. So definitely companies are looking for places to connect with those audiences. So I think it's just a phenomenal opportunity. And those numbers, I mean, in the billions, that is just massive. So what I wanted to come back to you talking about what a sponsorship benefit is, so people can kind of wrap their brain around what their business can provide and why they would be able to obtain these sponsors.
Okay, now anybody could provide a sponsorship benefit because most of the people listening to us have a website or a social media page. So on your website, I like it on the website rather than on the social media pages.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just, if I say website, just know I mean website or social media. What you can do is put the sponsor logo there, put a hyperlink to their company, put a little blurb about their company. When you send out emails, one of my clients gets paid by a corporate sponsor, and in the five figures, let me tell you, to put their logo on the bottom of her email because she's got a good email list and she sends them out a lot. She's sending them out anyway. Why not? So there's the online benefits. There's also offline benefits that you can give to a corporate sponsor. If you actually do live speaking, live events, you could give signage to a sponsor. You could give a sponsor VIP privileges, and hospitality is kind of big in the sponsor world, which is, giving them, some passes for them and for some special clients to come to see you speak. And for the speakers listening to me, when you speak, it is considered a live event if you're invited to speak on somebody else's stage or if you are organizing your own event. So it doesn't have to be your own event. So you could give them signage, you can give them passes, you can, have coupons there from sponsors. You could have sampling. You see at a lot of events, there's companies and they give out product samples and, especially yogurt or bottled water. Sometimes they'll give a coupon to drive retail traffic. You could do on-site sales. There's a lot of things you could do. With social media, now you could do online contests for your sponsor.
Yeah.
Online contests, they love that. They love, surveys. You could survey people because they are always looking for information. Some of my clients had sponsors who wanted them to do surveys And surveys are very easy to do now and you know, don't cost anything or are very low cost to do, to just survey your people for them. And they pay survey and research companies boku bucks, lots of monies. You know, they'll pay you to do surveys for them. So those are just a couple of things. When we get into the bigger bucks, we get into press releases, we get into media, we get into spokesperson's benefits. You could be a spokesperson for a company. That's really fun. And then at the top there are presenting benefits. Sometimes you'll see an event and it'll say presented by and have a sponsor name there. Now that sponsor pays a lot of money for the presenting rights, and that's called naming rights because their name goes on everything. So, you know, if it says the FedEx golf tournament, and I've worked with FedEx as a sponsor. So the FedEx pays to have the FedEx golf tournament because then their name is on everything associated with that particular tournament. There's the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. There's the Avon Run Walk for Breast Cancer. There's the Pillsbury Bake Off. I mean, you know, you could start thinking there's just so many of them.
Oh, absolutely. And that just allows people to have so many different opportunities, especially with their business, for new ideas as well and where they can get into without even, because I know we talked about before, even if you're not doing events yet or you're not doing certain things, you can have that in the proposal to help that sponsor get you into those venues and creating those benefits. So I think that's outstanding with how that's set up.
Yeah,
now,
and even if you're not, I want to tell everybody something. Even if you're not doing these things yet, but you want to in the future, you may want to do events, you may want to do, you know, play a little bigger than you're playing. You know, what you do is you write that in your sponsor proposal, because here's when the turning point when I started to teach this stuff, because when you write your proposal, you're writing like for future budget, not your current. So you're writing, okay, sponsor, you give me X amount of dollars, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this event. I'm going to do this show. I'm going to be a spokesperson for your company. I'll do this, this, and this. So it doesn't have to be what you're doing currently and what you have the money to do now. It could be what you will have the money to do once you get the money from the corporate sponsors.
Yeah, I love it. And that's what inspired me so much when I finally understood how this world works, because it really, those sponsors like you talked about want to help you grow and help them grow their business. It's a partnership. So it's your ability to dream big on how you want to grow your business, and really the sky's the limit with all the benefits. So I love it. I think it's outstanding.
Absolutely.
Now, Now, what – so let's talk about the money, because I didn't realize – I mean, obviously, with it being a billion-dollar industry, how are the different funds set up, and what are the dollar amounts that these companies are willing to pay to be aligned with people's audiences?
Okay. All right. So here's where you got to get your antenna ups and listen here, because I'm going to tell you the money. Now, this is not for – you know, I'm going to make this general statement, but, you know, you may be able to ask more for more money than this. You know, you might have to offer a little bit less, but these amounts of money usually work for most people who are starting out. Most of my clients get between $10,000 and $100,000 from each sponsor per year, and that is renewable, and I'll talk about that. So the levels, if you're writing this down, are $10,000, $25,000, $50,000 and $100,000 per year, and it's renewable, meaning, you know, you have the right, they have the right to renew for next year. So this is a long-term cash infusion strategy. And the lower level benefits at the lower, you know, the 10, 25 are what's called the visibility benefits. You know, that's the hyperlink on the website, that's the signage. At a higher level, you get what's called connection benefits, connection, where a sponsor can actually engage with their core customers, because the more they engage with their customers, the more conversion they're going to have. And believe me, this is all about driving sales and adding value to the company. So they'll want to engage when they can. Sometimes they'll want recognition from the platform. Sometimes they'll want an exhibitor opportunity. Sometimes they'll want to be on a teleclass. Sometimes they'll want to be interviewed by you and have an open forum on, you know, with people who can ask them questions. very, very possible now. The next level of benefits is the media benefits, so that's when you could get some good media. And remember, a lot of the media can be done on trade. You don't have to take money out of your pocket. So there's media benefits, and then at the top of the levels is presenting and naming rights. So that's when the sponsors get to put their name on things. So those are the basic levels of sponsorships.
Wow. That's just so impressive when you think about it. Now, how many sponsors do you typically have your clients obtain per year? Because you said multiple, not just one.
I don't believe in just having one sponsor. I believe that puts you in a very vulnerable position. If you want to start out that way with just one sponsor, yeah, fine. But, you know, it's like an employee, like you have that one source of income. And
right.
If it dries up, you know, you're not in a good position. So I believe in having a bunch of sponsors, usually about 5 sponsors, I believe, is a good amount. You've got your media sponsors and your in-kind sponsors and your cash sponsors. I would say maybe 5 to 10 is good. I mean, if you watch NASCAR, you'll see that there is no maximum number of sponsors because the whole model of NASCAR racing, that's when, you know, the cars race around the track. And, you know, I mean, just watch that for 2 seconds and you'll see the drivers have on their shirts, they have the sponsor logos, on the hats they have the logos, the cars have the logos, the tracks has the logos. The stand where you get the snacks has the sponsor logos. The scoreboard has the logos. I mean, that's their whole model.
Yes.
So there's really no maximum to the number of sponsors you can get. The only thing I need to tell you is that when you get into the bigger dollars, sometimes sponsors are going to want what's called exclusivity. And exclusivity is basically category exclusivity. So what I like is I like the banks. I've always had a bank sponsor. So let's say you're going after the banks and you've got Bank of America and Wells Fargo who both want to sponsor you. Or, you know, you may have to pick one because they're going to want to be the only bank. And that's another reason why sponsorship is a good investment for a company, because they can pay not to have competitors around, and they can't do that if they're advertising in other mediums. You might have an exclusivity. I've never really seen it hamper people that much, the exclusivity clause, and that's usually at the higher levels of sponsorship where they get an exclusivity.
Yeah, that's outstanding. Now, do you find that, because there's obviously many different categories of sponsorship businesses you can approach, you know, whether it's airlines or banks or financial, mm-hmm. or do you find that certain industries are easier to obtain sponsorships, or
mm-hmm.
is it just, yeah.
Yeah, the boring ones. Because everybody calls me and they want to go after the glamour stuff. They want
right.
to go after, you know, the clothing and apparel and the cosmetics and, you know. The really glamorous.
Oh, I was the same way, exactly.
And I say, well, you know, so a lot of, you know, and a lot of those companies will give you free shirts or free shoes. And, you know, like I said, there's value in in-kind, but most clients want and need money to run their business.
Right.
So go after insurance companies. Go after the banks, like I said. Go after telecommunications. The cell phone companies, go after computers and peripherals. You know, those are good places to get sponsors. Beverage is a good category for sponsorships. So, you know, go after the more mainstream companies. Consumables is also a good place to get sponsorships. Just kind of think about your target market, and you may be part of your target market. You know, what do they do every day? Hopefully they get up and they brush their teeth and they wash their hair. So, you know, toothpaste, shampoo. If you're going after, let's say, the mom market, which is a $3.7 trillion market, because I have clients
wow.
who work in that space. You know, paper towels is big because they're always cleaning up the kids' messes with paper towels. So,
right.
I mean, that's as boring as it gets, but why not? There's money there.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, can you share any other insights on the process of obtaining a sponsorship and kind of how that the actual process works?
Sure. Okay. So the first thing you want to do is you want to write down your wish list of sponsors. And you know from working with me, that's what I make clients do, is write their wish list. Think of companies that you would like to have sponsor you. And, you know, I told you I got Bank of America. You know, I got Bank of America because I was driving and I saw a billboard for Bank of America. And my perception was increased, and I said, okay, I'd like to work with them. I'd like them to be my sponsor. And that's how it starts. It starts with a thought. It starts with an idea. So the wish list is powerful. There's magic in that wish list. So make your wish list of sponsors. Then you create your sponsor proposal. So you either create it yourself or you hire a firm to do it. And my firm, my company does that for you, or we help you do it. You do your sponsor proposal. The proposal needs to be industry standard. The proposal needs to have really compelling benefits in it. So you've got your proposal there. Then you contact the sponsors. And there's basically four ways I like to contact the sponsors. By phone, by email, those are the two best ways to contact your potential sponsors. And email is actually pretty good because a lot of them travel and they can get the email on their phones. So phone and email. And of course, on the phone is good too because then you could have conversations. You could create relationships. There's social media. You could contact them through the social media. And then the fourth thing is direct mail. You could, you know, write letters and send your hard copies of your proposals. And you know what? They don't get those anymore. Everybody's doing things electronically, so it really stands out if you send a hard copy of your proposal to a sponsor company. And when you send a hard copy, send a few copies because, you know, you want to encourage them to show it to their colleagues. So then you contact the sponsors. You negotiate the deal. You agree on a price. Go to contract, negotiate the deal, and then you sort of just do it all over again for the next year. You perform for that sponsor, whatever it says you'll do for them, and then the next year you do it all over again. You get the renewal either for the same fee or a higher fee if they really like you. You say, okay, what more can I do for you the next year? They like you, they trust you, you know, that's a good time to maybe up-level it a little bit. And that's the basic process. So remember when I said it's not that complicated? That's
right.
That's the whole process.
Yeah.
There is work and there is complexity, but it's kind of a simple process.
Yeah, and you make it so simple. I mean, really, obviously, working with you, I can say that because you put the steps together where it's A to Z. You don't leave anything out, and it just makes sense. It's a process that makes sense for any business owner to be able to do. Now, I know when I first got introduced to this industry and understanding how it works, I'd love for you to kind of share a little bit about the difference between the responsibilities of taking on advertisers versus sponsors, because I get that question a lot, and there really is a difference in why sponsorship, I truly believe, is the holy grail of why people should have them. But I'd love for you to share that insight.
Okay. Well, you could do either one, but see, sponsorship is kind of like advertising on steroids. It's advertising plus, like, so much more brand building, you know, so much more exposure, so much more reach. If you want to do advertising, you know, that's okay, but you're going to get a few hundred dollars here, a few hundred dollars there. If you really want to make thousands and thousands of dollars, you're going to take it to the sponsorship level. So, if you have a podcast, a radio show, a web TV show, in your proposal, you're going to make it all about you and your brand, and the show is secondary, the method of delivery, because most people make the proposal about, okay, here's my radio show, and, you know, they're going to say, well, radio shows, I know what the prices are for advertising. It's a few hundred dollars for this or a few hundred dollars for that. So you make it more about, okay, here's the radio show, but I also speak, and I also, you know, have events, and I also am aligned with a charity, and here's the reach of the charity, and I also have these other strategic alliances, and I also appear on other media. So you're going to make it more about your brand and the reach of your brand and how you can promote that company than just about the radio show, just about the web TV show, just about the podcast. So that's kind of the best way that I can explain it. A good sponsor package will have some advertising in it. They'll get some spots, but they're going to get a whole lot more, like what I said, like signage, like couponing, like on-site sales opportunities, recognition from the platform, spokesperson's benefits, all of that other stuff.
Excellent. Yeah, that's the bigger package. It's more of the partnership and the power partnership is how I see it. So that's outstanding. Now, do you have any other tips and advice to share about the sponsorship world that most people might not know about?
Any other tips of advice? Okay, well, remember when you pitch a sponsor, remember that it's about them and not about you. That is number one, numero uno. And I know everybody hears me say this and they say, yeah, I know that. But you really don't, because I get proposals all the time and people tell me all about their projects, all about their show, all about their charity, all about their association or their business or their events. And I say, okay, well, this is interesting, but how are you going to benefit the sponsor? How does this relate to the sponsor? The sponsor's number one concern is how are they going to grow their customer base? How is this going to translate to sales? How are you going to educate people about their project and their company? So make it about them. So when you tell them about you, say, here's what I do and here's how it's going to benefit you. Here's how it's going to add value to your company. Here's how I'm going to promote you. And the first thing that I have clients put in their sponsor proposal is the goals for the sponsor. So then the sponsor knows that, hey, this person gets it. The first thing they have in their proposal is, here's my goals of how I can help you as a sponsor. So remember that it's all about them. Also, you know, be brief, be brilliant, and be gone. Do not ramble when you are having a dialogue with a sponsor. They want bottom line in your first conversation with your potential sponsor. It's going to be a very quick conversation. They're not going to give you a whole lot of time. You're going to introduce yourself quickly. You're going to lead with your most compelling benefits. Hopefully you'll do a little bit of research on their website and talk about things that are important to their company. Say, hey, I've researched your company, and this is how I think I can help you. And then they're going to say, okay, send me what you got. You will send them what you have, which is the proposal, and then make a follow-up appointment. So always have a follow-up appointment. Now, on your follow-up appointment, you could talk a little more. But always remember, one of the worst things you could do is ramble, because they want you to bottom line it for them. You're talking to a bunch of people who are stressed, who have been downsized. So you're talking to maybe somebody who's doing the work of three other people. So they want you to bottom line it. So remember that. The worst thing you could do is ramble. And also remember that you really can't help everybody unless you help yourself. So, you know, we all start wanting to give back, and giving back is so important, and I've always given to charities, and I donate to Junior Achievement. Right now that's my chosen charity, but you can't give back unless you help yourself first. And we've all been told that, hey, you know, you've got to go for your dreams. You've got to get that message out. You know, the worst thing to do is to leave this planet with your song still in you, with your legacy and your message that could change the world, not given and unsung. So we've got to get our messages out, and that's what it's all about. But you need the resources to do that, and that's what sponsors give you, is the resources to affect change and affect transformation, because we're in different businesses, but we are all in the life-changing business, and that's how sponsors help you. They fund you. They fund your dreams so you could change other people's lives.
Oh, that's just outstanding, Linda. I just appreciate you so much for just, I mean, giving it all away. I mean, you really walk through the whole entire process of what to do, and you are, you're transforming lives and helping, just like you said, more people get their message out there, have a blast with what they're doing, and have it funded by a corporate company that wants to help them grow their business. So I can't thank you enough for coming on the show And I really highly suggest if you have any interest in learning about sponsorship, head over to chrisgilbertson.com and go to the Expert in Millionaire interviews. I'm going to have a full profile on Linda, all of her details. And Linda is amazing at doing free training and telecourses. She's truly about empowering you with knowledge and information to help you take your business to the next level beyond just sponsorship. So I highly suggest checking out some of her telecourses and getting on her list to learn more about how she can help you fund your dreams through sponsorship as well as just training and speaking organizations. So again, thank you, Linda, so much for coming on the call. Again, this is Chris with the Chris Gilbertson Show, where we focus on the secrets of the extraordinarily successful. And everybody go out and make it a great day.